News with Nick, July 17th, 2019. Head on over to newswithnick.com to check out the video version of the show. Click on the episode, watch the video. It's stupid. If you want to get a text after, if there's going to be a show coming or any other news alerts that I find to be newsworthy, there is a little box in the left-hand side of newswithnick.com. Just type in your phone number with or without the one before the area code, because I've programmed it so it should accept either. If you want to check out that code, right-click and go Inspect Element and just read the JavaScript, and then don't try to hack me, please. And spam me with junk numbers that will run up my AWS bill. I think if you go over 1 million numbers, that it'll cost me 1 cent. So please try not to do that. That would be mean. It is the hottest weekend that's happened so far this year. How are you guys feeling it? Let's check on the news right now. Dangerous heat wave expands from plains Midwest to east into this weekend.
Is especially hot. Look at Chicago. Not everyone has central AC there.
It's just a picture of a bunch of people in Chicago rolling on pavement going, ah, it's hot! It's hot!
Chicago, not everyone has central AC there, so you have to come up with creative ways to stay cool. Jump in Lake Michigan, for example. Now, you may think, okay, we get it, it's hot, it's July, but this is excessive heat, and that's why there are excessive heat warnings,
because
it becomes dangerous at that point. Once you have high heat temperatures, I know we see those in Arizona all the time, but when you add high humidity on top of that, our bodies, we just can't handle it. It feels much warmer to us, which is how we get that heat index number. This isn't...
It says it's going to be 107 heat index. So that's the humidity combined with the sun, right? Let's skip ahead.
Those heat indices are very high. This is remarkable heat. And the morning lows, the overnight temperatures, you're not getting any relief.
I'm kind of scared. It is 86 right now in the studio, which is fine, but I am risking the entire show because if my computer overheats, it may lose the recording. Now, I don't know if you're as good as me, but I have liquid cooling in my computer, so it is probably fine because I am a Richmond. And I'm cool and stuff like that. So that's what we have. I was thinking of running quite a bit on Sunday, like marathon almost levels of miles. And now I'm like a little bit scared. I may just wake up at 4:30 a.m. and go, well, this is the coldest it's going to get, and go for a little bit of a jog. I was looking through some old stuff the other night. And I was about to throw some stuff away, and I'm like, I'll just check out what's in this book. And I opened it up, and this is a little embarrassing. If you're not on the video version, you're not going to see. It is the worst photo of myself I think that has ever been taken, and it's given me a complex for the past 2 days. Here's me with my fat face and my nobodylikesonions.com shirt. I thought I was cool. And for some reason, there was a girl that liked that. I mean, I wasn't super enormous, but it was kind of like me and you'd spread about an inch of Jell-O over all of myself. And I have these camo shorts, and my face is so fat. And thank goodness that I decided to start hating myself and go to a treadmill. Now, here's the problem. Back then, I didn't realize necessarily that I looked so fat-tarded, right? What if I'm still that? What if I'm still fat and I still look stupid? You're like, have you seen your hair? It does. What if I still look stupid and then 15 years from now, I'm going to look at a photo and go, oh, I can't believe I used to be that, right? What if it's just like that forever? There's another dimension where Nick from 15 years ago just continued on that trajectory and became a fat man. It's probably the dimension where they always say, hey, if you could go back in time and tell yourself two words, what would you tell yourself, right? It's like, and then everyone, their correct answer is buy Bitcoin. That is the correct answer if you could go back in time and say two words. Or if you could only say one word, just say Bitcoin, right? And then hopefully past self would be like, oh, me from the future said something. I better take heed to that, right? I could have bought Bitcoin at 1 cent per bit, been a billionaire, and just been like, oh, guess I'm a fat billionaire. Oh, it is so hot that the New York City Triathlon has canceled their race. It is with great disappointment that we announce the cancellation of the 2019 Verizon New York City Triathlon, owned and produced by Lifetime. Through this week and into the approaching weekend, the New York City metro area has experienced multiple weather advisories, including severe heat warnings, continued heavy rainfall, and thunderstorm watches. Race day temperature and humidity levels are projected to reach extreme levels. After exhausting all options, get it? Because it's a race. to mitigate athlete, volunteer, spectator, and staff exposure alike, we are unable to provide either a safe event experience or an alternate race weekend. As a result, the New York City, City of New York and all supporting agencies, says the triathlon has been canceled. There's that. It is extreme. Even these extreme triathletes can't get out there and do their little race. I was at the grocery store right before the show, and I was checking out, and as I was checking out, I had a bunch of stuff, obviously, and one of my first items was a cucumber, right, from the thing. And the checkout girl says, the checkout girl picks it up and looks at the bagging girl and says, oh, this is a thick cucumber. She says, this is a thick cucumber, and I go, I just, like, monotone, I go, thank you. And then she looks at the bagging girl awkwardly and looks back at me and then keeps checking my stuff out, but I look at her and she like is trying not to laugh, and then I'm trying not to laugh, and then that was the rest of the interaction. Oh no, it wasn't, because she scanned a Gatorade and it didn't beep, right? And then she's like, I'll pretend I didn't see that. That one's on the house. I'm like, I didn't see anything either. So I got a free Gatorade out of it. Thank you. Why would she say that? That's her. She started it. You don't say to someone, that's a thick cucumber. What do you want me to do? And what if she had like called the police? Excuse police? He said thank you after I said that's a thick cucumber. He's implying something. I said, what? No. I just picked a thick officer. I picked a thick cucumber. How are you going to arrest me for that? Man was caught licking many thick cucumbers and placing them back in the aisle. We'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. I got a local story. One of Keene's two mayoral candidates says he's concerned with being targeted after many of his campaign signs were vandalized, several of them with lewd images. Councillor Greenwald said the fiasco began in the past couple of weeks with a few of his signs being taken or knocked down. Oh, no! Some overzealous supporter of my opponent thinks they're helping. This past weekend, though, Greenwald said that more than a dozen signs disappeared from lawns around School Street. Then he got a call Wednesday about a placard on Leverett Street that had been covered in black paint. Anyone on the inside of the know knows that Leverett Street is where the CAC is. Anyone who's still hanging out from back in those days and knows what I'm talking about there. Thursday morning, Greenwald and his son Joshua received calls from supporters about more signs with graffiti. First of all, if you're a supporter, why are you calling the candidate and going, hey, by the way, your sign's messed up? I guess if they want to replace the sign, right? But other than that, it's like, hey, did you know that people hate you so bad that you can't, and that people are vandalizing the sign? 40 or more have been stolen or graffitied in the past few weeks. Here's the thing. If you're graffitiing a sign, who are you? You're most likely a little baby boy, right? One of those hangouts, one of those kids. But who of those kids that hang around this area care enough about the mayoral race, which is just two old guys going, you want to be the mayor? I want to be the mayor. Let's see who the city thinks the mayor should be. I got nothing better to do. I'll try to be the mayor. No one wants to be the mayor if you want to make money or do anything worthwhile with your life. You want to be the mayor once you're bored of everything else and you're like, might as well be the mayor of a town, right? So I wonder who cares enough to vandalize only the opposition, right? Weird. Unless it's gone serious, like in this small town the other mayoral candidate's been hiring kids. Hey, kid, I'll give you one of these natty daddies if you go vandalize the opponent's signs. All right, we got a couple of stories to get into. They are the bad ones of the week, so we're going to knock them out early. And they are the major stories this week. So Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, wait. I guess we'll skip ahead to that one. Jeffrey Epstein has been jailed, and he has been denied bail. A federal judge Thursday denied Jeffrey Epstein's request for bail pending his trial on sex trafficking charges in Manhattan. A wealthy financier who owns a private jet, luxury homes around the world, and a private island in the Caribbean will have to spend months in Manhattan jail that typically holds mobsters, drug dealers, and terrorists. Well, yeah, he's like as bad as those people, allegedly, right? I am authorized to say to the court, Epstein's lawyer said, that whatever bond you tell Mr. Epstein to sign, whether it's $100 million or an amount close to the amount of the assets, Mr. Epstein is prepared to sign it. Basically, they turned over an asset list to the court, said, how much is he worth? $559 million they turned over. And they were basically saying, if you want to take everything I own to bail me, okay, I'll pay it. His lawyer said he would even pay for 24-hour private security to assure he did not flee. Prosecutors argued that he was seeking special treatment. So the judge said no. The judge said the crimes Mr. Epstein has been charged with are among the most heinous in the law, in the court's view. So apparently some of the charges include some of them that he had massages from 14-year-old girls, maybe, in his residences in Manhattan and Palm Beach, Florida. During the massages, he engaged in various sex acts with them. This is in the indictment. He also used some of the teenagers to recruit others to abuse, paying the victim recruiters hundreds of dollars for each girl they brought to him. Mr. Epstein's alleged excessive attraction to sexual conduct with or in the presence of minor girls, which is said to include his soliciting and receiving massages from young girls and young women, perhaps as many as four times a day, appears likely to be uncontrollable, the judge said. It is fair to say that Mr. Epstein's future behavior will be consistent with his past behavior. So we do have the indictment here. It is 14 pages long. We're not going to read it. And why are we not going to read it? Because it's not interesting? No. Because it's old. Like, to some extent, like, this information has been out for a long time, and it's been available to read for a long time. Now, there's been new stuff that's come out. His home has been raided, and he's been rearrested. Because what it says here, from at least in or about 2002 up to and including at least in or about 2005, Epstein, the defendant, enticed and recruited and caused to be enticed and recruited minor girls, blah, 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 right? So they're charging him with stuff that happened a long time ago, which is fine. Only thing is, what is like all dramatic is that many years ago, like in 2008, he was charged and he got this plea deal. And they said, okay, you can serve like 6 months house arrest. And his house arrest was like a super nice house and he got to go to work. So it was basically no punishment. But there is a law that says no double jeopardy. You can't be charged twice for the same crime. But the thing is, if you did it so many times, it's like having a bowl of marbles. It's like the prosecutors can say, okay, we'll charge you for these two times you did it in 2008. And now we're going to charge you for these five times you did it in 2019, plus a bunch of photos we found. Right? So it's not looking good. It looks like it's come his time has come, most likely, right? We don't want to get ahead of ourselves with this court system, but it's not looking good, and the indictment is out there to read if you guys want to do so. Speaking of the court system, Kevin Spacey, big news. We've been following this court. This case, prosecutors in Nantucket on Wednesday dropped the felony sex assault charge against the actor Kevin Spacey after watching their case against the actor slowly fall apart under scrutiny from Spacey's defense team. The decision to drop the charges followed a meeting between the accuser, his parents, and prosecutors. So the accuser being the 18 to 20-year-old gentleman. His parents and prosecutors on Sunday, July 14th, following a July 8th hearing in which the alleged victim exercised his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination during a hearing in which he was testifying about his missing cell phone. What? The defendant is pleading the Fifth? Oh, wait. Rewind that. What? The accuser is pleading the Fifth? That doesn't happen. So what happened was the defense said, hey, you guys are going to submit evidence from a cell phone as part of this trial. Let's see the cell phone so that we can look at it. And the prosecution said, no, no, no. We've already pulled all the data off and we gave you everything we know. How's that not enough? And the defense said, well, it's possible stuff got deleted, so we would like the right to inspect the cell phone and hand it to our own cell phone experts. Sexperts. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. And see if anything was deleted. See if we can recover it. And the prosecution said no. And the judge said, yeah, kinda. And so then there was a hearing. It's like, okay, where's the cell phone? And the kid said, I don't know. And they were like, where's the cell phone? And he's like, I don't know. They were like, did you delete anything from the cell phone? He's like, no. They're like, did you delete anything from the cell phone? And then his lawyer was like, you can plead the Fifth. And the kid said, I plead the Fifth. And they go, okay, well, then we have no evidence. So case is dropped because the phone's gone. It's not good enough. So Spacey is now out of the legal woods, still in the public's eye, not so good, because he has 30 or so male accusers of inappropriate conduct. But hey, we can always hope for one of those YouTube videos to come out again where he goes, I told ya, and then they play a stupid sound at the end. Oh boy. All right, here's another one. After this, I think we'll be on to nicer news. An Ohio daycare operator accused of sexually abusing kids gets only 30 days in jail in a plea deal. Kimberly Hignite was operating an unlicensed daycare in her Grove City home. I feel like this happens a lot. It's like, hello, would your kids like to come over? Right? And then she's got, like, the neighbor's kids. And then the neighbors tells their neighbor and says, hey, Kimberly's hanging out with our kids all day, and she only charges $2 per kid. Send them over there. They say many of the children between 7 months and 5 years old were strapped into car seats, left unattended in separate rooms. That's the daycare? All right, kids. Into the chair. Oh, my goodness. Prosecutors say three children spoke of sexual touching, something called the silly private game. A game that Ms. Kim forced them to play using a tan and blue game board with pictures of private parts and a red spinner? The sound of my son and little girl being able to describe what that grown woman's vagina looks like and feels like is something we regrettably will never be able to forget, and honestly something that I can never forgive. What? She like took a twister board and then printed out images from Google? Or Bing, rather, probably? And then just stuck them to a spinner and said, what are you going to touch today? Oh, my goodness. But then, so she takes a plea deal, right? In a plea deal Monday, prosecutors agreed to drop the sexual imposition charges against her in exchange for her guilty plea to 14 counts of child endangering. I want the court to know that we accepted this plea deal because I could not allow Ms. Hignite to take away one more moment from my children's lives, said a mother. Given the chance to speak, the accused declined. Rather, she's not accused anymore. She is convicted. If we cannot get the justice we hope for without re-traumatizing our children, I can only beg that you take every possible step to ensure that Kimberly Hignite can never hurt another child again. So I guess what happens is if they're going to go to trial, the evidence is going to be the kid's testimony, which is kind of insane because they're like, hey, kid, can you re-explain the twister game again to the court? Although I'm pretty sure, like, if you explained it to an expert, right? Like a trauma expert for kids. Couldn't the trauma expert then just go on the stand and be like, the kid said, blah, blah, blah. Or would they object for hearsay? Because if that was an adult doing it, it's hearsay. Maybe there should be a if there's not a legal exception, now I'm not a lawyer, maybe there should be, for if a kid is involved and can't go through that again. Because it is traumatizing, right? The chat says no. They said feels like it as well. Not just looks like, feels like. Well, never mind. I'm not going to even go into it. All right. Ooh. On to the news. On to the nice news. Utah boy selling ice cold beer. Let's play a video because I need to take a drink of ice cold beer.
This little stand is turning a lot of heads, and it's all because of this ice cold beer.
She's holding up a big white sign that has black letters on it. Just says ice cold beer in big letters, big black letters. Whoa.
Root beer, that is.
First, there is a whole production of this kid taking a cooler out of his car and then putting it down on the street. Like, the news crew was ready for this.
At just 11 years old.
It's here in the summer and it's real hot.
Seth is somewhat of an entrepreneur.
And this is also doing for great free advertising.
This is doing for great free advertising. They couldn't have... The production crew is there and ready, and they couldn't have him retake. This is doing for great free advertising.
And this is also doing for great free advertising.
He's drawing in the crowds.
Whoa, there's a bunch of shirtless boys. That's inappropriate, as we learned on the last episode. All right, I'm going to stop interrupting, and we're going to listen to what this kid has to say about his stupid root beer.
And turning some heads.
Drink responsibly.
All with his ice cold beer.
You had to buy another cooler. Thank you.
Thanks.
Tell your friends. Just root beer. IBC root beer.
Of course he's not actually selling beer.
And
Okay, I can't. This is the dumbest story I've ever seen, and that's why it's on this show. We got to go back. The kid hands this girl a root beer, says thank you, tell your friends. He doesn't even open it.
Thank you.
Wait, not his friend. Did I say tell? Oh, no, just a lady.
Thanks.
And then tell your friends.
And then there's a zoom in of the bottle being opened. And it's a twist off. You can see from the twist from the video, it's a twist off, but they opened it with a bottle opener.
Just root beer, IBC root beer.
Of course he's not actually selling beer.
And I thought of the hilarious joke, ice cold beer, because some people would think it's funny because it's root beer, though.
I'm just going to give you some cash, dude. I think it's funny.
This sign,
don't drink and drive,
is getting him a lot of attention.
Oh my God. We received 3 calls in 2 days.
And the people who called the cops don't have a sense of humor, though.
Take a closer look.
People called the cops?
Look, and you'll see the sign isn't deceiving.
They did not read the fine print.
Just clever.
Root.
We laughed. We laughed about it. It was great.
Wait, let me check.
I want an interview with the person who called the cops and said, there's a boy on the side of the road. He says ice cold beer. And he's drunk. He's clearly drunk. Have you heard him talk?
Things are okay.
It's hard work to be in the root beer game. But at the end of the day,
want a cold one?
It's definitely paying off.
I'm also a state representative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I represent this area.
Okay.
And Senator Mitt Romney sent a message to me. Uh-huh. He wants to send you a letter.
What?
Is it okay to drink on duty?
Yes.
Okay.
So we definitely had to buy some root beers here today. There you go. But ideally, he said he wants to sell one to Governor Herbert or President Trump in Brigham City. L. Thomas, Fox 13 News.
I did not know that there was a Trump reference at the end of this video. I did not watch the whole thing. That's hilarious. Huh? And by the way, he'd like to sell one to Trump. That was a good tie-up to the end of that video. We received 3 calls in 2 days, said the police. The initial call came in, and they were just concerned that there was a young man selling beer. They did not read the fine print, said the kid. Root. It says root. All right. Well, at least the cops didn't come in and be like, you got a license for that root beer? Present your license or get on the ground. Take your shirt off first, like those other kids. All right, people are really into this new fad of licking stuff and then putting it back on the shelf. So this all started with this Instagram or Twitter video where this darker girl takes some dark ice cream, licks it, and then throws it back in the freezer, right?
And it'll be licking. Oh, you foul. Put it back. Put it back. Put it back. Put it back. Oh, you're a hoe, nigga.
Lick it. Lick it. Oh, yes, you a hoe. Did they, like, take audio from something else and put it on this video? Get it?
And it'll be licking. Oh, you foul. Put it back. Put it back.
Oh, lick it.
Put it back. Oh, you're a hoe, nigga.
Oh, I didn't even realize he was saying a bad word. By the way, guys, don't repeat that word. So she posts that on Twitter. Everyone goes insane. They repost it to this, I don't know, it just goes viral, right? The police post on Facebook. We have identified the Bluebell Liquor as a juvenile from San Antonio. Under Texas law, anyone under the age of 18 is considered a juvenile. The suspect is tied to the Lufkin area through her boyfriend's family. Who cares? We have spoken with her boyfriend, who's an adult. Illegal! As well, they are both forthcoming about what happened and admitted to the act. What made this case difficult was that a catfish with a similar screen name began taking credit for it. It was actually the catfish and not our suspect who bragged on Instagram about the incident saying, yeah, I really did that. You can call it Fluebell ice cream now because I was a little sick last week. Haha. Repost yourself doing this. Let's see if we can start an epidemic. Okay. So one girl does it. Someone else takes credit for it. But it wasn't the second person? It's like the guy who was like, hello, I killed JonBenet Ramsey. And they were like, you did? Prove it. Tell us all the details. And he was like, I don't know. I was just kidding. And they're like, oh, okay. So that person should be charged on Instagram with like inciting a public epidemic or something. I don't know. We do not intend to pursue charges against her as an adult, and therefore what happens from here on is the discretion of the juvenile justice system. We cannot speak for them as to what charge she will face. So she's going to juvenile court, but we're never going to find out because that's private. As to whether her boyfriend will face charges, we are currently discussing his involvement with prosecutors. Right. You can't charge him with anything. Failure to stop a person licking a thing? Or can you? I guess we'll find out shortly. Can you be charged with recording someone else licking something and putting it back? As we will soon examine. Got another one that happened just today. I haven't even read this one. Odessa police arrested a 15-year-old boy for spitting into an Arizona tea bottle and putting it back for someone else to drink. An officer wrote in a sworn affidavit, oh, that I have not located, that they were dispatched to the Albertsons home. Wait, dispatched to the Albertsons in North County Road West Monday night. Oh, that's very specific. Is that the store? I'm so confused. Or are they just going, yeah, Joe and Jim Albertson, their kid, I think, spit into a tea bottle? The affidavit says that security footage showed the teen pick up a drink, put his mouth on it, and then put it back. Goes on to say the teen told the production manager before the police officer arrived that he spit in it. The teen reportedly repeated to the officer that he took a drink of the tea, then put it back because it was gross. He's charged with tampering with a consumer product, a second-degree felony. All right. Everyone's getting a little worked up here. Stop licking stuff and putting it back, and then tampering with a consumer product apparently is a felony. Like, that's so broad, I guess. What happens if I take out some tater tots of the freezer? I drop them, and they break open, and they go all over the floor, and I shove them back in, and then I go, well, I don't want this now. I'm just going to put it on the shelf, but I'm going to try to put it like it's obvious that it's broken tater tots. Now, a real person would just bring it up to the front and be like, these tater tots broke. It wasn't my fault. That's what I would do, but someone else might not. They might just put it back. And then what? Is that tampering? Who knows? Viral video of girl licking a tongue depressor lands a mom in jail. A Jacksonville mother was arrested Thursday after stomach-churning cell phone. We don't need the adjectives, Jacksonville. Just report what happened. after a cell phone video of her daughter licking a tongue depressor at a dentist's office and putting it back in the jar went viral. Corey Ward was booked on a felony charge of tampering with a consumer product.
Wow!
Without regard for possible death or bodily injury. She could face up to 30 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. All right, let's watch the video. First of all, it is a video of the video. So someone's holding up a phone and recording it on another phone or another camera, and the phone that they're recording it from is cracked, like, all over the screen. All right, let's watch the video. It's 11 seconds long. It starts with one of those... It's supposed to be comedic. So the mom points the camera at a sign on the wall. It says, "Please do not touch medical supplies! Thank you." It is in all caps. It is printed out on an HP black and white printer. And the Snapchat, that tag that she puts on it, you know how you can take a video and then you do a little Snapchat on it? Like, thinking of you, bae. Right? It says, "Don't tell me how to live my life," is the caption on the video. So now the video plays. It pans to the left, where her daughter pulls a tongue depressor out, licks it, puts it back, closes the lid. Video ends. Licks it, puts it back, closes the lid. Very deliberate act, like it's like they're acting. It says, "Don't tell me how to live my life. Please do not touch the medical supplies. Let me lick one and put it back." That's insane. Anyway, now we've got an interview with her, so we're going to see what she has to say about this.
"I see now, like, why it looks bad, but it was not my intentions to do a licking challenge. It was not my intentions for it to be even shared like that. It was on something that was private."
Jefferson says,
what?
Ward's arrest sends a message.
What was private? The Snapchat? "It was not my intention for the video of me having someone lick it, a video of my daughter licking a tongue depressor, to go out." Okay. She never said sorry. She never said, "Whoops, that was dumb." She said, "Wasn't my intention for that video to really get out.
Looks bad, but it was not my intentions to do a licking challenge. It was not my intentions for it to be even shared like that. It was on something that was private."
Jefferson says Ward's arrest sends a message about this kind of behavior.
"I think the message is loud and clear. If this sort of thing continues to go on, they're going to continue to make arrests."
So she was being held on felony charges, and she has finally been bailed for $25,000. Her dad came to court and said, "All right, here's $25,000. Let's get my daughter out of jail," right? So I guess we're going to see what happens here. "I posted this on my personal Snapchat for my 20-something friends where someone allowed another person to video it. I didn't post on Facebook or YouTube as a challenge or whatever." Is this going to be like a new level of crime? Are we going to have to be like, did you do it as a challenge or are you just an idiot? Because if it's a challenge, that's a challenge crime. If you do the Frosty challenge where you throw a Frosty in the face of a Wendy's worker, that is an additional crime because you were doing it as a challenge. Right? They could write the law like that. Did crime with the intention of getting likes. The chat says she seems like a moron. Why does she have medical supplies? She was in a dentist's office as a patient, I assume. Or her daughter was, at least. Anyway, or is their defense going to be like, "I didn't lick it. My stupid daughter licked it. Charge her with the felony. I just recorded it. How can I be charged for recording it?" Right? Because the boyfriend in the other case isn't being charged for recording it. So the mom shouldn't be charged here. Like, my 12-year-old did it. Charge her as a juvenile, just like you charge the Bluebell liquor. Ha! Checkmate, police. Yes! I don't want to get through a show where we don't have a use for that. Ooh, here's a good one. A superintendent in the Central Valley is defending his actions after he allowed a janitor to wear a mask, hold a fake gun, and run around campus acting like he was an active shooter. Let's see what the video has to say. Nothing, because it's on silent.
Actions after he allowed a janitor to wear a mask, hold a fake gun, and run around campus pretending to be an active shooter.
Oh, it's one of those videos where the exact video is just the transcript from the article.
Tonight, the principal says it was all a drill. CBS 47 investigative reporter Eric Rosales got the tip and went searching for answers. Eric.
Well, Catherine, the incident happened right before summer break. It took place at Raisin City Elementary School. That's in Fresno County. The superintendent may have wanted to see the reaction of his staff, but teachers and parents of students I spoke with say it went too far.
Ooh, are we going to get an interview from the people? Let's find out later. Cooper says in her 22-year career as a teacher, she has never gone through anything like this. I love these students, and I don't know what I can do. I thought, wow, am I going to go down like this? So they didn't even tell the teachers that it was a drill? Now, back in my school days, we did have intruder alerts. They would go over the announcement and go, this is an intruder alert. And we'd all just, they'd pick a corner and we'd hide in it. Now, because of intruder alerts, because of stupid Columbine, we weren't allowed to have doors that were open during the day a lot of times. We weren't allowed to have that little rectangle window where, you know, they have the wooden door in your school and they have the rectangle window. It's not a big rectangle. It's just a little mini rectangle. We couldn't even have that showing through. You had to cover it with something like paper or something creative because they were like, no, if that window is open, a shooter will come through and they'll be able to peek through and they'll be able to see that there's kids in there. And so then they'll go into that room and shoot. The whole idea of the intruder alert that we did, maybe I'm being level one, maybe you all did this and you already know the rules, but it was to lock the door and then get in a corner and then be very quiet so that the shooters didn't know what room kids were in. The kids are probably in every room. Anyway, So that was intruder alerts for us. And then they would run around and they would shake on the doorknobs to see if the doors were locked. And now, I don't know what would happen if they weren't locked. I don't think they're going to run in with a mask and go, get down. We're the fake shooter. Uh-oh. Started a video on the other tab by accident. All right, let's see more of this video.
I thought, this might not really be a drill, and what am I going to do?
Kim Cooper says in her 20
bright pink nails,
22-year career as a teacher, she has never gone through anything like this.
I love these students, and I don't know what I can do, and I think, wow, am I going to go down like this? You know.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb that they did not tell the teachers that this is a drill. And by the way, Jimbo from the janitor's closet is going to, like, this is his one moment to shine. He was in drama club in sixth. And now we're going to say, hey, if you want a mask and a gun, run around the school and pretend to be a shooter.
Out at Raisin City School.
Cooper says she and her students tried to stay quiet and gather together in the corner of the classroom.
And then all of a sudden, someone came pounding on the door, boom, 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 and trying to open it.
She says kids inside were terrified.
So I had one boy who was, he was trying to be very quiet about it, but he was sobbing. I mean, you can imagine, I was upset, and I'm a, you know, 48-year-old adult, but there in the back of my mind, I don't know that it's a drill. I think, my goodness, this could really be happening.
Thankfully, it wasn't real, but was dressing a janitor with a gun, banging on the doors and windows with kids inside, going too far?
Do you think it was wrong?
All right, is this the principal or the superintendent?
Well, no, I don't think it was wrong. It was a drill, not training. Because usually these drills become routine to students. And we wanted to make sure that this was realistic.
Raisin City.
No, hang on. No. Okay, so the point of a drill is that you always know the procedure. A fire drill. The fire alarm goes off, you know what door to go to, you know where to go, you know how to check in to be safe, right? That's so that anytime there's a real evacuation, you know where to go, you know what door to get to, you know to be safe, right? That's the point of a drill. You don't set half the building on fire and go, that is, okay, here's a drill. Good luck. No, that is like live fire training, which is more advanced than a drill. The point of a drill, I thought, was to just keep people calm always so that when it is real, they do the same motions that they would do for maximum safety. There's no upside to having a gunman running around unless part of the drill is find the gunman and like hit him over the head with a chair. If that's part of the drill, fine, because that's going to be in real life. But I don't know. Like, what's the point? Here, feel what it's like to be scared.
Superintendent Juan Sandoval defends his actions. He says after the drill, all teachers shared a video with the students to be better prepared, but admits the teachers and students were told nothing before it happened. He says as a team, he wanted to see how his staff would react.
The emotional strain that it put on both of them, the students and the teachers.
Well, that's what the, you know, when it's a real situation, it's worse than that.
And oh my goodness. His defense is, well, if you think that was bad, just be in a real shooting.
Teachers and students need to be that this is reality.
Sandoval adds he's never heard a single complaint, and the drill helped him identify issues that need to be fixed.
Didn't hear any single complaint from the board member, so I don't know.
Well, I heard a number of complaints from parents, from teachers, who said this should never have happened with a janitor serving as a mascot.
This guy's got to work on his eyebrows.
Going onto campus and scaring the kids and the teachers like this.
Well, I don't know that he was scaring the kids. It was a drill.
Was he? Well, I guess there's no way to find out. We need an interview with the janitor, and we need an interview with some more kids. We only got an interview from that one teacher. What if the rest of them are like, hey, not a big deal. Is this blown out of proportion? Not sure. Yeah, but like, I guess the only upside to the drill is like, don't be scared. Right? Don't cry if the gunman is coming for you. That seems too big of a bar to put for the elementary school kids or whatever they were. No, I don't think it was wrong. It was a drill, because usually these drills become routine to students, and I want to make sure this was realistic. Yeah, I don't know. This guy's dumb. That's why they hire a lot of this stuff out. Like, there's companies that go, hey, we'll give you the live shooter training, because they're actually professionals and know what to do it. It's not know how to do it. It's not some superintendent who goes, any of you guys want to wear a mask and run around? All right. Speaking of, I don't know, high school football coach from Texas who got caught up in a viral Disneyland brawl has come forward to describe the mayhem, including how the main attacker got choked out by a park goer. All right, so there's a video of a fight starting in Disneyland. Oh. There's a guy like punching a larger lady. She's got a stroller with two kids. And now there's another guy jumping in ninja style with his fists up. A girl with Mickey Mouse ears is on the left, and she is almost getting involved. So this is amazing. We're going to skip ahead. This is 4 minutes long. You guys have to look up the fight at Disneyland Toontown. Stupid-ass bitch. Is there more fighting? Oh, there is. Oh, wow. Oh, he's beating her in the face. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Sorry. I didn't watch this before I put it on the show. All right, this guy. Okay, now he's getting choked out. All right. They're holding him down. He's down. He's up again. All right, so there was a huge fight at Disneyland. When the man regained consciousness, he kept asking, "Who choked me out?" Do you know what it's like? Has anyone ever been choked and then you pass out? Because I don't know what that feels like. normally I'm already passed out, sleeping, and then I'm choking, and then my body wakes up, and I go, I was just choking. Can't breathe. The individual seen on video was wearing a red shirt and repeatedly punching women. Multiple women? He wanted to fight the person who made him pass out. Blair was one of four guests who jumped in and subdued the man after watching him pummel at least two female parkgoers. I didn't understand why people were recording and not helping. Noting how he told the man in red to back off before bringing him down to the ground with others. Without a doubt, I would do it again. When something is not right, you have to jump in. He's screaming, I'll show you, Iran and Iraq. Blair, who is the head coach of El Paso's Hanks High School. Wow. So the man in red had attacked a woman in a motorized wheelchair before setting upon another female? He was caught on video fighting with a male guest as well? I'm ready to go to jail tonight, the man in red can be heard saying. I don't give an F, fuck. He and the others involved in the melee all walked away without being arrested. They were later removed by Disneyland security, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure Disney security now is just stormtroopers. Just kidding. That was a funny thing that they came out with a while ago. We're like, if you get kicked out of the park, the stormtroopers come and get you. No, they would never do that because then people would purposely try to get kicked out of the park so that the stormtroopers would come. What if that's what he was going for? What if this was suicide by stormtrooper? Now that we have the video, detectives will be following up to see if any criminal charges can be filed. It's unclear what sparked the brawl, only that it was a verbal confrontation leading up to it. Any type of violence is inexcusable and will not be tolerated, Disney said in a statement. You guys hear that the granddaughter of Disney, Walt Disney, went to the park and said, wow, it's not very happy here. All the workers are digging out of the trash in order to eat. Chat says, no, that was Star Wars land. I don't know. I thought they were the same general land. Like, they're all connected, sort of. I've been to Harry Potter land and Jurassic Park land, and they were both just next to the other lands, right? I don't know. I guess that would be funny if the stormtroopers came in from the other land to the one that's supposed to be just Minnie and Mickey. Anyway, so the lady's like, they were digging out of the trash. All of the workers are so sad. This is the worst. We need better income equality for the Disneyland workers. And then Disney came out and said, wow, what a mean way to attack us, right? I don't think there's been any resolution to that or anything, but it's like Walt Disney's granddaughter. And some people are like, wow, listen to her. She's Walt Disney's granddaughter. And other people are going, so? Or grandniece, actually. Like, not even direct lineage. Like, grandniece. Anyway, I don't actually have an actual story about that. I just happen to remember that. All right. So this guy, Drew Gordon, he posts on Instagram. This is a guy that I would like everyone to look into and tell me if we're going to like him or not. Is this the next Bo Burnham? Or is it just another dork? But he got a news story written about him. So here you go. He posts on Twitter, excuse me, Delta, this is outrageous. I just got sucked through the toilet hole in one of your aircrafts, and now I'm hurtling through the sky. Can I get my money back? This never happens on Southwest, right? Would not have been a story at all, except Delta decides to reply. They say, hello, Drew. I am sorry to learn of this. Can you provide more detail to what occurred? Drew replies, got sucked through the toilet hole. All right. So then I headed on over to his Twitter or his Instagram because, you know, this guy's famous now. He's the got sucked through the toilet hole of Delta guy. Here's a video from his Instagram. Let's see if we like him or not.
All right, everybody. If I could have your attention, I am selling this lamp for $20. The price is firm at 20, so please don't try to negotiate.
Would you take 10?
Ah, he's doing a level one Craigslist joke where people will dicker down your price no matter what you say.
No.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Oh, great. Can you pick it up today?
I did not watch this video, by the way, before this episode. I wanted to watch it live and see if this guy was cool.
Okay.
Silence.
So you're just not going to say anything?
I'm interested.
Great. When can you pick it up? Why did you message me?
I'm interested.
Are you, though?
Yes. You bring to me.
What?
You bring lamp to me.
No.
How long is this?
If you want the lamp, you have to come to me.
But I don't have a car. And my bike is broken. And none of my friends have a car. And all of their bikes are broken. And I don't have any arms or legs. And I don't have any money.
No way.
Nope,
I have
we're
the
done.
Same lamp.
Let's see. Is there another video? Is this just
Hi. Is lamp still available?
Nope. Still a continuation. Well, head on over to Drew Is Gooden's Instagram if you want to see more videos and pictures of him. I thought maybe he was Clev, but I guess not. Here's a video of him being Kim Possible.
Beep, beep, beep-doop. Hurry up, Kim, your mom's here.
You guys remember Kim Possible, the Kim Possibly skinny-waisted girl? Possible to see what's going on. All right, the last one was better for audio listeners because you could at least hear what was going on. Well, anyway, that's pretty funny. Chess Grandmaster admits to cheating with a phone on the toilet. The International Chess Federation says it has suspended a player at a tournament in France after the man was caught red-handed using his phone during a game. The organization said Friday on Twitter that all the evidence in the case of Igor Rausis has been sent to its ethics committee and that it will be determined to fight cheating in chess. Wow. This is a big controversy. He's number 53 in the world. He's the oldest player in the world ratings by 7 years. Federation director wrote on Facebook that he has long been under suspicion of cheating and that catching him was merely the first shot in a years-long battle against cheating. He's been suspected for a long time? Here's what he said. I simply lost my mind yesterday. I confirmed the fact of using my phone during the game by written statement. What else could I say? Yes, I was tired after the morning game and all the Facebook activity of accusers also have a known impact. So apparently, this has been going on for a while. Like, people deep in the chess community have been on Facebook going, are you a big fat cheater? At least what I committed yesterday is a good lesson. Not for me. I played my last game of chess already. There's no evidence of cheating prior to the incident, but his rating has made a remarkable ascent in recent years, climbing nearly 200 points. So here's a chart. Guess of his rating, where it was like around 2550 back in 2013 and raised to 2650 in 2019. So he was either studying a lot or he cheated on his phone. So here's what happened. He went to the bathroom. What he did a long time before the tournament is he hid his phone in the bathroom, like one of those Orange is the New Black people. And then someone took a photo of him by going into the stall next door and holding their phone over, and he's on the toilet, pants on, unfortunately, because that would have been way funnier if he was plopping and doing his cheating in chess. But he can't see what he's doing. But apparently what they do, anyone who doesn't understand how chess works, is you type in like the position that you're in the chessboard, put all the pieces in place, and you have a computer analyze it and tell you what some of the best moves are to do next. Now, obviously, you couldn't, like, your phone is probably not powerful enough to do the type of analysis you would need quick enough, but you could just send it to a cloud computer and it would do it and send you back the results and you'd go, ah, thanks for that. But how many times can you go to the bathroom during one match? It can't be that many. Like, every move he's like, whoop, you know, I'm getting old. I gotta go to the bathroom a lot. Sorry about that. And he checks his moves? Unlikely. Now, these chess people are still geniuses. Just because Lance Armstrong cheated does not mean that Lance Armstrong was not a good athlete without cheating, right? Just because this chess guy is cheating doesn't mean he's not still a genius in chess. He could probably memorize 100 moves just by looking at a little bit of a cheat chart. And that helps him. I got a new phone. Got the Galaxy S10. Bought it last week. And by bought, I mean I signed a little contract that says you promise to pay this off in 30 months at $30 per month for 30 months. So $900 for a little rectangle you carry in your phone, carrying your pocket every day. And the problem with the Galaxy S10, and this is called Phone Talk on the News with Nick show, is that it doesn't have that little indicator light anymore. I used to get an indicator when I had a message or something. I don't know how to know if I have a message other than wake the phone up and go, do I have any notifications? Oh, yes. They're just comments on my fat photo on Facebook. Fat photo Facebook. Three Fs. Final story. Speaking of cheating, and this is a short one, Kobayashi, the hot dog eating champion until Joey Chestnut came out, has some grade A beef with Joey Chestnut, TMZ says. He says that Joey Chestnut is a huge cheater and questioning if the guy is really eating 70 hot dogs. Kobayashi was in New York City and didn't hold back when we asked him about Chestnut. He said he thinks Joey's a food chomping cheat. Let's see what the video has to say.
Joey Chestnut, he ate 71 hot dogs last week. Still the reigning champion. Can you give this guy credit? Does he deserve credit from you?
Are you asking me because you also think that that might be a fib?
We know you guys don't like each other. You don't like him. He doesn't like you. I mean, can you still give respect?
Can you imagine your worst enemy is someone just because he ate more hot dogs than you? He's now your worst enemy.
Can you respect him?
I'm sure that Chestnut is really working hard at eating as much as he can. I'm sure. But and that's fine. I don't really care what those numbers are. But he does have a contract with MLE, George Shea, and they do want the numbers to go up. And so they, I'm sure, will do. You know, if people want to believe those numbers, people will. And if they don't, they won't.
He's basically saying, which is what I say a lot: look at the incentives. Who has the incentive for Joey Chestnut to have the hot dog eating world championship and be so dominant in sport? The people who verify the results, huh? Or do they? I actually don't agree that they do. If I was doing my own independent analysis, I would say that no. Joey Chestnut eating 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes and blowing away the competition is not good for the sport. You need to have a rivalry. Good for the sport, I keep saying sport loosely, good for the game would be Kobayashi still eating with them.
It seems like he's eating more and more every year. I mean, he had 71, just like a new high record. I mean, is this guy getting that much better, or is there something else we don't know about?
It is questionable that the size of the hot dogs are even the same from 10 years ago. They have altered their sizes.
That's a good point. I never even thought of that. You could make smaller hot dogs or bigger hot dogs. What's the hot dog standard?
Have the hot dogs gone down in size? Are there smaller hot dogs?
I don't know for sure, but the ones in the supermarket are 5 grams less than they used to be since 10 years ago.
A lot of people seem to think that Joey actually may be cheating a little bit, that he's not eating all the food. I figured you'd be the person to ask.
I have personally definitely witnessed some cheating acts. One example, we were eating for a Pizza Pizzone competition years ago, and he was throwing the hardest part to eat, the crust, into the box the whole time.
We were eating for a Pizza Pizzone competition years ago, and he was throwing the hardest part to eat into the box the whole time. Why wouldn't they catch that? It's a competition to eat. Like, there should be no edible items left on the table if you're actually eating it.
Do you think the MO of these competitions were geared towards having Joey win as opposed to having you win?
All right, I'm bored.
Yeah, I think she wants him to win.
That's a relationship that's...
All right, so Kobayashi caught in the streets saying that Joey Chestnut is a fraud and a fake and a frickin' cheater. The three Fs, that Major League Eating is propping him up falsely and saying, here's our champion, Joey Chestnut, and he's the best in the world. All right. He did lose a few years ago. Some guy just randomly beat him, which I don't understand because the rest of the years it's not even been close. All right. It has been News with Nick. Head on over to newswithnick.com. Check out the video version of the show. And thank you for coming. And that's all I really have for tonight. It's been a great Friday night. Have a fun weekend. It's 86 degrees in the room right now. It's going to be 96 sometime tomorrow, probably out in the doors. Anything else to talk about? Didn't really take any good notes. Go find the thickest cucumber you can and check out with it and see what happens, I guess.